Chapter 64, The Home and the Temperance Crusade. Intemperance is on the rampage. Intemperance still continues its ravages. Iniquity in every form stands like a mighty barrier to prevent the progress of truth and righteousness. Social wrongs born of ignorance and vice are still causing untold misery and casting their baleful shadow upon both the church and the world. Depravity among the youth is increasing instead of decreasing. Nothing but earnest, continual effort will avail to remove this desolating curse. The conflict with interest and appetite, with evil habits and unholy passions, will be fierce and deadly. Only those who shall move from principle can gain the victory in this warfare. Intemperance is on the increase in spite of the efforts made to control it. We cannot be too earnest in seeking to hinder its progress, to raise the fallen and shield the weak from temptation. With our feeble human hands, we can do but little, but we have an unfailing helper. We must not forget that the arm of Christ can reach to the very depths of human woe and degradation. He can give us help to conquer even this terrible demon of intemperance. Total abstinence is the answer. The only way in which any can be secure against the power of intemperance is to abstain wholly from wine, beer, and strong drinks. We must teach our children that in order to be manly, they must let these things alone. God has shown us what constitutes true manliness. It is he that overcometh who will be honored and whose name will not be blotted out of the book of life. Parents may, by earnest, persevering effort, unbiased by the customs of fashionable life, build a moral bulwark about their children that will defend them from the miseries and crimes caused by intemperance. Children should not be left to come up as they will, unduly developing traits that should be nipped in the bud, but they should be disciplined carefully and educated to take their position upon the side of right, of reform and abstinence. In every crisis, they will then have moral independence to breast the storm of opposition, sure to assail those who take their stand in favor of true reform. Intemperance is often a result of home indulgence. Great efforts are made in our country to put down intemperance, but it is found a hard matter to overpower and chain the full-grown lion. If half these efforts were directed toward enlightening parents as to their responsibility in forming the habits and characters of their children, a thousandfold more good might result than from the present course. We bid all workers in the cause of temperance Godspeed, but we invite them to look deeper into the cause of the evil they war against and go more thoroughly and consistently into reform. In order to reach the root of intemperance, we must go deeper than the use of alcohol or tobacco. Idleness, lack of aim, or evil associations may be the predisposing cause. Often it is found at the home table, in families that account themselves strictly temperate. Anything that disorders digestion, that creates undue mental excitement, or in any way enfeebles the system, disturbing the balance of the mental and the physical powers, weakens the control of the mind over the body, and thus tends toward intemperance. The downfall of many a promising youth might be traced to unnatural appetites created by an unwholesome diet. The tables of our American people are generally prepared in a manner to make drunkards. Appetite is the ruling principle with a large class. Whoever will indulge appetite in eating too often and food not of a healthful quality is weakening his power to resist the clamors of appetite and passion in other respects in proportion as he has strengthened the propensity to incorrect habits of eating. Tea and coffee are contributing factors. Through the intemperance begun at home, the digestive organs first become weakened, and soon ordinary food does not satisfy the appetite. Unhealthy conditions are established, and there is a craving for more stimulating food. Tea and coffee produce an immediate effect. Under the influence of these poisons, the nervous system is excited, and in some cases, for the time being, the intellect seems to be invigorated, the imagination more vivid. Because these stimulants produce such agreeable results, many conclude that they really need them, but there is always a reaction. The nervous system has borrowed power from its future resources for present use, and all this temporary invigoration is followed by a corresponding depression. The suddenness of the relief obtained from tea and coffee is an evidence that what seems to be strength is only nervous excitement and consequently must be an injury to the system. Tobacco, a subtle poison. Tobacco using is a habit which frequently affects the nervous system in a more powerful manner than does the use of alcohol. It binds the victim in stronger bands of slavery than does the intoxicating cup. The habit is more difficult to overcome. Body and mind are, in many cases, more thoroughly intoxicated with the use of tobacco than with spirituous liquors, for it is a more subtle poison. Tobacco affects the brain and benumbs the sensibilities so that the mind cannot clearly discern spiritual things, especially those truths which would have a tendency to correct this filthy indulgence. Those who use tobacco in any form are not clear before God. In such a filthy practice, it is impossible for them to glorify God in their bodies and spirits which are His. Tobacco weakens the brain and paralyzes its fine sensibilities. Its use excites a thirst for strong drink and in very many cases lays the foundation for the liquor habit. Effects of stimulants and narcotics. The effect of stimulants and narcotics is to lessen physical strength, and whatever affects the body will affect the mind. A stimulant may for a time arouse the energies and produce mental and physical activity, but when the exhilarating influence is gone, both mind and body will be in a worse condition than before. Intoxicating liquors and tobacco have proved a terrible curse to our race, not only weakening the body and confusing the mind, but debasing the morals. As the control of reason is set aside, the animal passions will bear sway. The more freely these poisons are used, the more brutish will become the nature. Teach children to abhor stimulants. Teach your children to abhor stimulants. How many are ignorantly fostering in them an appetite for these things? God calls upon parents to guard their children against the indulgence of appetite and especially against the use of stimulants and narcotics. The tables of Christian parents should never be loaded with food containing condiments and spices. They are to study to preserve the stomach from any abuse. In this fast age, the less exciting the food, the better. Temperance in all things and firm denial of appetite is the only path of safety. A challenge to parents. Parents may have transmitted to their children tendencies to appetite and passion, which will make more difficult the work of educating and training these children to be strictly temperate and to have pure and virtuous habits. If the appetite for unhealthy food and for stimulants and narcotics has been transmitted to them as a legacy from their parents, what a fearfully solemn responsibility rests upon the parents to counteract the evil tendencies which they have given to their children. How earnestly and diligently should the parents work to do their duty in faith and hope to their unfortunate offspring. Tastes and appetites must be educated. Parents should make it their first business to understand the laws of life and health, that nothing shall be done by them in the preparation of food or through any other habits which will develop wrong tendencies in their children. How carefully should mothers study to prepare their tables with the most simple, healthful food, that the digestive organs may not be weakened, the nervous forces unbalanced, and the instruction which they should give their children counteracted by the food placed before them. This food either weakens or strengthens the organs of the stomach and has much to do in controlling the physical and moral health of the children who are God's blood-bought property. What a sacred trust is committed to parents to guard the physical and moral constitutions of their children, so that the nervous system may be well balanced and the soul not be endangered. Our sisters can do much in the great work for the salvation of others by spreading their tables with only healthful, nourishing food. They may employ their precious time in educating the tastes and appetites of their children, in forming habits of temperance in all things, and in encouraging self-denial and benevolence for the good of others. Negligent parents are responsible. Many parents, to avoid the task of patiently educating their children to habits of self-denial, indulge them in eating and drinking whenever they please. The desire to satisfy the taste and to gratify inclination does not lessen with the increase of years, and these indulged youth, as they grow up, are governed by impulse, slaves to appetite. When they take their place in society and begin life for themselves, they are powerless to resist temptation. In the glutton, the tobacco devotee, and in the inebriate, we see the evil results of erroneous education. When we hear the sad lamentation of Christian men and women over the terrible evils of intemperance, the questions at once arise: who have educated the youth? Who have fostered in them these unruly appetites? Who have neglected the solemn responsibility of forming their characters for usefulness in this life and for the society of heavenly angels in the next? The real work begins at home. It is in the home that the real work must begin. The greatest burden rests upon those who have the responsibility of educating the youth, of forming their character. Here is a work for mothers in helping their children to form correct habits and pure tastes, to develop moral stamina, true moral worth. Teach them that they are not to be swayed by others, that they are not to yield to wrong influences, but to influence others for good, to ennoble and elevate those with whom they associate. Teach them that if they connect themselves with God, they will have strength from Him to resist the fiercest temptations. Temperance is not a matter for jesting. Many make the subject of temperance a matter of jest. They claim that the Lord does not concern Him with such minor matters as our eating and drinking. But if the Lord had no care for these things, He would not have revealed Himself to the wife of Manoah, giving her definite instruction and twice enjoining upon her to beware lest she disregard them. Is not this sufficient evidence that He does care for these things? Reform begins with the mother. The carefulness with which the mother should guard her habits of life is taught in the Scriptures. The reform should begin with the mother before the birth of her children, and if God's instructions were faithfully obeyed, intemperance would not exist. Not only the habits of the mother, but the training of the child were included in the angel's instruction to the Hebrew parents. It was not enough that Samson, the child who was to deliver Israel, should have a good legacy at his birth. This was to be followed by careful training. From infancy, he was to be trained to habits of strict temperance. The directions given concerning the Hebrew children teach us that nothing which affects the child's physical well-being is to be neglected. Nothing is unimportant. Every influence that affects the health of the body has its bearing upon mind and character. Temperance and self-control should be taught from the cradle. Upon the mother largely rests the burden of this work, and aided by the father, she may carry it forward successfully. Continue the lessons at fireside and at school. It is a most difficult matter to unlearn the habits which have been indulged through life and have educated the appetite. The demon of intemperance is not easily conquered. It is of giant strength and hard to overcome. But let parents begin a crusade against intemperance at their own firesides, in their own families, in the principles they teach their children to follow from their very infancy, and they may hope for success. It will pay you, mothers, to use the precious hours which are given you of God in forming, developing, and training the characters of your children, and in teaching them to strictly adhere to the principles of temperance in eating and drinking. Instruction in this line should be given in every school and in every home. The youth and children should understand the effect of alcohol, tobacco, and other like poisons in breaking down the body, beclouding the mind, and sensualizing the soul. It should be made plain that no one who uses these things can long possess the full strength of his physical, mental, or moral faculties. Make plain the effect of small deviations. It is the beginnings of evil that should be guarded against. In the instruction of the youth, the effect of apparently small deviations from the right should be made very plain. Let the youth be impressed with the thought that they are to be masters and not slaves. Of the kingdom within them, God has made them rulers, and they are to exercise their heaven-appointed kingship. When such instruction is faithfully given, the results will extend far beyond the youth themselves. Influences will reach out that will save thousands of men and women who are on the very brink of ruin. Build moral stamina to resist temptation. Individual effort on the right side is needed to subdue the growing evil of intemperance. Oh, that we could find words that would melt and burn their way into the heart of every parent in the land. Parents may lay for their children the foundation for a healthy, happy life. They may send them forth from their homes with moral stamina to resist temptation and courage and strength to wrestle successfully with life's problems. They may inspire in them the purpose and develop the power to make their lives an honor to God and a blessing to the world. They may make straight paths for their feet through sunshine and shadow to the glorious heights above. God calls upon us to stand upon the broad platform of temperance in eating, drinking, and dressing. Parents, will you not awaken to your God-given responsibilities? Study the principles of health reform and teach your children that the path of self-denial is the only path of safety.